There it is.
Hey, everybody. I'm Kyle Risdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Here we are once again trying to make today make sense on a Thursday.
In fact, a hollowed out shell of a Thursday.
Yeah.
I'm Kimberly Adams, and you know, it's cold here in D.C. Of course, not nearly as dire a situation as it is in Texas and in other parts of the country that are really struggling with these winter storms, man.
Yeah, bad. I'll tell you, I'm not all that hollowed out today. I don't feel so bad. But, you know, there's 15 minutes left. Anything can happen in this podcast.
Plus, I'm here, and you know I always bring
it. That's right. Little ray of sunshine right there. So we'll do a little news, we'll do a little Make Me Smiles, and then we will all be on our merry way. How about that?
Yeah, I like it.
Does that work? All right.
I like the plan.
You want to go first?
Okay. Yeah, because I really want to talk about Texas and just the disaster, the humanitarian disaster that's happening down there. I mean, I've been talking to our colleague Andy Euler, and he's just, you know, he's been bouncing from place to place trying to find a spot where he can get electricity and where he can have heat. And he told me he literally wrapped his pipes in blankets before they left their house, because they were just hoping to avoid their pipes bursting. And look, I'm from St. Louis. It gets real cold there. We have winter.
Yeah.
And I get that a lot of people, you know, in colder climates are like, oh, it's not that bad. It's just some snow. But it's one thing if it's snow and cold temperatures and you're prepared for it. But it's something completely different when you don't have the infrastructure to deal with it. Mm. I actually saw this really good TikTok that kind of wrapped it up. And I think Charlton has it.
Unlike the rest of the world, Texas runs its own power grid. So when they found out on Sunday that we were going to have single-digit temperatures, they began to shut off millions of people's water and power. Yes, millions. Pipes are bursting in homes. There are fires. People are clearing out grocery stores so that they won't have to leave their home. Grocery stores are closing and throwing away food due to lack of power, and they can't refrigerate food. Fast food places are closing due to lack of power and not enough food. Roads are very slick, and we don't have snow trucks or whatever you call them to clear off the snow or the ice. There are freezing temperatures in people's homes. People are going 40-plus hours with no power and no water. So say a prayer before you make fun of TikTok.
Yeah. I mean, she packed a lot in there. Yeah. That was TikTok user Simply Crochet. But the video that went along with it, you know, you can see people's, like, ceilings caved in and ice covering, like, someone's living room, people's whole – I saw something where someone's fish tank – completely froze solid.
I mean,
these are the superficial things. People are dying and you know, dealing with frostbite and the homelessness population or the unhoused population. So anyway, it's just a real, real serious thing. And, you know, my heart goes out to the folks in Texas. And I really, we've had a lot of really great coverage on Marketplace about why the infrastructure is the way it is and the way the grid is set up and how that is messed up. But, man, it's a lot happening down there. And that's pretty much all I can pay attention to right now.
And it's people's lives. That's the craziest thing.
Yes.
It's people's lives, you know. Okay, so I've got two, one from yesterday that I wanted to bring, but I couldn't because it's What Do You Want on a Wednesday, so we're doing, you know, y'all's questions instead of my little news items, and then one from today. So the one that hit me yesterday, and I tweeted this out, and I said, this story is bonkers. The New York Times reported yesterday that late in the Trump administration, senior officials at the Department of Defense, up to and including the Secretary of Defense and then the acting Secretary of Defense after Secretary Esper was dispatched, wanted to promote two very senior female military officers, one an Army 3-star and one an Air Force 4-star, to new jobs. Would have gotten them both 4-star jobs, which is a very big deal for anybody, even more so still to this day for women in the American military. And they held them back because they were worried that President Trump, who, as we know, has issues with women, wouldn't like them and would substitute his own candidates instead. And that, to me, is just bonkers on about 97 different levels. These women are going to be put forward for promotion into their new jobs under the Biden administration, where frankly, the recommendations of military leaders and civilian leaders at the Department of Defense. Defense usually carries some weight in a conventional White House, and I think that's a good thing. But the idea, I mean, look, I've talked a couple of times on this podcast about the destruction that President Trump brought to good order and discipline, whether it's pardoning Navy SEALs who committed war crimes and were convicted of it, or the Theodore Roosevelt captain and Secretary of the Navy and COVID. It's just unbelievable that this is what they had to do. Now, I do kind of wonder if the generals in question were told that they were being held back because of this absolutely bonkers reason or not. I would hope that they were and were given some agency in this. But man, that's a banana story. It's a banana story that we had to do that. They had to do that.
And it's the one that we know about. Can you imagine how much of this happened at different levels, not just in the armed services, but throughout government, of people strategically withholding reports or pushing things through? Mm-hmm. I mean, timing. There's always a little bit of this that happens in any administration, but I have to imagine that the level of sort of strategic holding back until the turnover was quite something this year.
And can you imagine how much stress that adds to already stressful jobs, and it's a pandemic, and there's a war going on, and all of this stuff, and we have to worry about, are you kidding me, he doesn't like women? Sorry, I'm off my little hobby.
Well, I mean, I will tell you, women deal with this all the time.
No,
anyway.
I know. But you'd hope that, I don't even know what you'd hope. I totally get that, and
All right, anyway, what's your other thing?
Item number two. This one came out this morning. It's also deeply, deeply distressing. Life expectancy in the United States fell by a full year in the first 6 months of 2020. That's bad enough. But then you read down into the story and you read this. Life expectancy of the black population declined by 2.7 years in the first half of 2020, slicing away 20 years of gains. The life expectancy gap between black and white Americans, which had been narrowing, is now at 6 years, the widest it's been in since 1998. It's just, I've been saying for a long time that, go ahead.
Well, no, when I saw that, it made me look up this ProPublica story that came out last week where they pointed out that COVID vaccinations are being prioritized for people over 75, but most black people don't actually live that long. So simply by because there's that gap between, you know, white and black life and expectancy here in the U.S. And so literally just by prioritizing people 75 and older, it guaranteed that fewer black people were going to have access to the vaccine. Sorry, I interrupted. Man. Go ahead.
No, that's good. That's much more useful than my tidbit, whatever it was going to be, which is not as relevant. That's cray cray right there. That is. Holy cow.
Yeah.
And of course, right? You think about it, and of course, but God. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man. So anyway, so two news items for me.
I told you I'd get you to your hollowed out shell.
You did. It worked. You're really nice job. It's so good when you come on. I like it so much.
Sunshine and roses.
Oh, man. All right,
Charlton,
help us out.
Surely there's a happy place staying in our future.
Oh, my Lord. Holy cow. Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm going to do mine real quick and then we can talk about yours because I love yours. You have two. I need to refresh.
I did actually. I don't know. I'm still thinking about it.
All right. Well, you sit through mine and then you can do yours. I just want to remind everybody that there was a big hearing on Capitol Hill today. The House Financial Services Committee, chaired by Maxine Waters, Democrat of California, held a hearing into the GameStop trading brouhaha of late January. They had the CEO of Reddit. They had one of the traders. They had the CEO of Robinhood. And, of course, it was all streamed on CNBC. And it was a bunch of mostly old white guys who were members of that committee asking the questions. And then they were putting up on CNBC, they were putting up comments from Reddit users about the testimony. And one guy, LiarCat18, said, "Is AOC coming on? I feel like she would ask the right questions." Because it was really interesting. These questions were not tough ones. She did eventually come on later in the afternoon, as did Rashida Tlaib, and asked some fairly pointed questions. But I love that Reddit users are like, "Where's AOC? I want AOC." And I thought that was cool.
They wanted somebody who might actually, you know, have interacted with the technology that is being discussed.
That's right. That's right. She's going to come on and do her questions on Twitch, all right? That's what she's going to do.
Okay, I'm very excited about...
Okay, yes.
Fine, and we have sound.
Oh, you're all over it today.
Touchdown confirmed. Perseverance, safely, on a surface.
Yeah!
Ready to begin seeking the sands of past life.
Doing my little space nerd happy dance over here.
Yeah, for sure.
The service stage has flown away to a safe distance. Perseverance is continuing to transmit.
Oh my gosh, how exciting is this, right? They made it.
Yeah, I think it's really cool.
I mean, we were talking about this yesterday, like just the complexity of it, and I didn't want to get too excited. I was like, I don't know, it's really hard to land something on the surface of a different planet, but it landed. I was watching the post-landing briefing right before we got on here, and one of the NASA engineers holds up this piece of paper. He's like, usually I do this in private, but with every landing, we have a plan and then a contingency plan. And he tore it in half and he said, we didn't need the contingency plan.
That's great. It's so cool. Now, do you know when they're going to fly the helicopter up there?
I do not.
Because they brought a helicopter.
I do not.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what
I
want to see.
How wild is this? Like,
it's
yay
crazy.
Science.
It's crazy. And within like minutes of landing, there were pictures coming and it was great. It was great.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Okay.
Science is cool.
Oh, wait.
There we go.
So I am going to do my other one very, very quickly.
Okay.
So
yeah, of course.
New Zealand is rolling out free period products to all of the students that need them. And it's to address something called period poverty, which is this idea that in all over the world, developed countries women... or people who have periods have to sometimes miss school or miss work, miss doctor's appointments and all sorts of things if they don't have period products. We still tax period products in many parts of the United States, even though they're necessary for women. So I think New Zealand is the second country to do this, to basically say, you know what, if we can hand out condoms for free, we should probably be handing out period products for free. And so I just think it's nice to have – this made me smile because it's sort of taking the stigma away from something that like half of the world goes through. And it's a health issue. It's an economic issue. And that made me smile.
It's super cool.
Free tampons
and it makes
for everyone.
Yes. It makes me want to move to New Zealand because they've got the virus under control. There was a picture of Jacinda Ardern, the prime minister, at a huge blowout picnic with not a mask in sight and total huge crowds this weekend. I'm like, please, please take me. I know, right? I know. Okay. That's it for us on a hollowed out shell of a Thursday. We started high and went down and got mopey and then we came back. So that's good. Back tomorrow, Economics on Tap, the YouTube live stream, all of that. If my equipment holds up in my shed here, 3:30 Pacific, I don't know. You never know. 6:30 Eastern. Join us, won't you?
Yeah, that is right. And I'm going to bring a stonk tail.
Are you?
I am. Like, everyone was sending in so many recipes when you and Molly were talking about it the other week. Mm-hmm. So Marissa and Donna have been compiling them, and I'm about to make a delivery order to order some of the ingredients. I'm not sure where I'm going to get kombucha in my neighborhood this evening, but okay. And I'm going to try out some of these recipes. I'm not hipster enough, apparently.
I don't know.
So I'm going to try out some of these recipes, and I'll let you know what I think, and I hope everybody else tries out some of the recipes that people sent out. So, yeah. What are you going to drink?
Fair enough. I surprising nobody will be bringing beer. In the meanwhile, while you try to figure out what beer I'm going to have, don't forget to sign up for our newsletters. We're doing the number on micro bakeries. Man, laid off restaurant workers have apparently started small businesses out of their home kitchens, selling baked goods on Instagram. I'm telling you, e-commerce is everywhere. Sign up at marketplace.org/newsletters. Would you?
One of my friends was trying to get me to buy cookies from somebody on Instagram, like regular cookies, not weed cookies. And but it was like you just couldn't get them. You had to like have the hookup.
I'm sorry, regular cookies, not weed cookies? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. I didn't know that was an Instagram thing.
Oh, man. Okay.
Anyway.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. And Erica Phillips writes our newsletters and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart device.
Weed cookies. I don't know. You learn something every day. Today's program was engineered, we are told, by Charlton Thorpe. Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. Our senior producer is Donna Tam. The executive director of On Demand is Sitara Nieves.
Edibles, maybe? Like, you've not heard of edibles cookies?
I've heard of edibles, not weed cookies, not on Instagram. What do I know? Come on. Weed cookies.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.